that many of our mothers here are feeling particularly loved and special. After all, it's Mother's Day. You will all, I'm sure, have enjoyed breakfast in bed, hugs and kisses from your children, and of course your husband, no doubt, will be looking after the Sunday dinner. And so for that reason, of course, I want to make sure that the fathers don't feel too neglected this morning. And I want to look with you at an example of a father in Scripture. Whilst this is Mother's Day, we're going to be thinking about a father. And for many people, the word father makes them think of something very positive. Their father loves them. They love him. The relationship is warm and safe and healthy. But friends, we should also remember that for some people today, that word father is very negative. Maybe their father is absent. Maybe he is abusive, violent, stingy, selfish. For some people, the word father is difficult because they wish they had a father. They always wanted a father. Some people today dearly miss their father. We don't have a lot of examples in the Bible of what a good father is, what he does. But in this parable of the prodigal son, we get to know an amazing father. We thought on Wednesday evening of the rebellious son in this parable. We saw how shameful it was that he rebelled against his father, that he rejected his father's love. We saw how he was reduced to wanting to eat pig food. But he comes to his senses. He remembers the kindness of his father. He gets up and he begins to return to his father. And so we left the parable on Wednesday evening with the rebellious son making his way home. Jesus was giving us a picture of rebellion and repentance. Every person in the world has rebelled against God. Not every person has repented from their rebellion. And we were challenged, weren't we, as to our continuing need for repentance as wandering children of God, the rebellious son. Well, this morning we want to consider what happened next. And we come this morning to what is probably the most surprising part of the story. We want to think this morning about the running father. We have 2 points. Firstly, be amazed by this father. Be amazed by this father. The younger son, having come to his senses, is on his way home. He's barefoot. He's walking. He's wearing his filthy, swine-smelling, tattered clothes. And Jesus tells us, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Do you get the picture? The father, he's waiting. He's hoping, he's longing for his son to come back. We have the picture that this father, he's waking up every morning. He's getting up, he's looking out the window. Is my son going to come home? Is he going to come home? One day he sees a figure far off in the distance. He wonders, is that my boy? He must have wondered that so many times before and been disappointed when the figure came closer. But as this figure comes closer, he can tell it is his son. That's him. That's my child. He's back. And friends, let's try and imagine that we're in the crowd. We're listening to this story from Jesus for the very first time. We're gripped by this story from the greatest storyteller of all time. And let's press pause. Let's freeze the story here. Let's ask, as they do in the question of sport, what happens next? What happens next? The father sees the son. What happens next? The son, he's rejected. He's dishonored his father. He's wasted his father's money. Here he is returning home. What happens next? Think of how the father could have acted. He could have seen the boy in the distance. He could have said, "It's about time. Here comes that no good son of mine. I'm going to let him crawl up to me. I'm going to let him beg for mercy. He's going to have to toe the line from now on." Well, that isn't what happens next, is it? What does this father do? Let's press play, verse 20. His father saw him, was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him and kissed him. And friends, if we think we have seen shameful behaviour so far, here is the most shameful behaviour yet. This father runs. He runs. This was not done by men in the Middle East. Women ran, young boys, young girls ran, but not old men. Men didn't run. Middle Eastern men, they were known, they still are, for their slow, stately walk. For him to run would mean that he would have to hold up his robes. He would have to show his legs. No grown men did that. To show their legs would be extremely shameful. Perhaps some of us still think that for grown men to show their legs is a little bit shameful. But this father does. He runs. And the word, it doesn't indicate a trot or a shuffle or a middle-aged scoot. He sprints. He can't wait another second to be reunited with his son. He sweeps up his robe. He thrusts it into his belt. He sprints down this road to meet his son. The whole village, they would have seen this. They would have stopped. They would have been appalled at this old man running, showing off his legs. This was shock of all shocks. They look to see where he's running. This son is returning. In that culture, there were a lot of things this father could have done to his son. He could have completely disowned him. The son has dishonored him. The father could have had him beaten. He could even have had him killed. This boy, he's taken a great risk coming home. He's not really sure what his father is going to do to him. We can picture him looking at the ground, dragging his feet, thinking, "What have I done? What have I done? What's Dad going to say?" He looks up. He sees his dad running with a smile on his face, yelling, "Welcome home! Welcome home!" The father reaches the son. He gives him a massive hug. He picks him up. He embraces his son, kissing him all over the head, and accepts him back into the family. Jesus says, verse 20, the father had compassion on his son. The word compassion, it comes from a word that means your intestines or your bile or abdomen. This man, he felt a sick feeling in his stomach when he saw the boy. And he ran. He's over the moon. And of course, it takes the younger son by surprise. We can imagine him through tears, starting a speech. He's been practicing this speech. "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father interrupts him. He'll hear no more. He calls to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe." Now that would have been the father's robe. This is the best robe, reserved for feast days, special occasions. Every nobleman had a best robe. Some of you men know yourselves, when you're going out to a fancy place, maybe you've got a tux that you pull out or a sharp suit that you wear for special occasions. You ladies, you might have a special outfit. If you don't, you make sure that you have to go and buy a special outfit. Well, the families in these days, they had a special robe. It was the father's robe, the most beautiful robe. And it's this the father gives to his son. The father covers his son's rags of shame with his own dignity. And the Son now shares the same dignity as the Father. And he calls for the family ring to be put on his finger. That's a sign of total trust, acceptance. A ring in that day was a way of transacting business. It would be akin in our day to the father saying, "We need to add this boy to our bank accounts. We're going to have to get a credit card for him. He's going to need some clothes. He's sold everything. He's lost everything. Legally, financially, we're going to reinstate him as a child of this family." He gets sandals for this son. In that day, only slaves went around barefoot. Only slaves were barefoot. Those who were free, they wore sandals. This boy, he's apparently gotten to such a desperate position that he's had to sell his shoes. He's humiliated. And his father says, "No, we're going to put sandals on you, son. You're not going to be a slave. You're going to be my son." So understand, all these gifts, the father's giving the full honour of sonship. And then the fattened calf was to be killed. Meat was an expensive delicacy, reserved only for special occasions, the biggest parties. The fattened calf, that would have fed 100 to 200 people. This is a full-on party the father's asking for. The whole village would have been invited. The prodigal son has returned. And friends, once we rightly understand all of these actions of the father, we should be amazed. We should be amazed by his actions. They can be summed up in one word. The word grace. Amazing grace. This father, he accepts his son back. No questions asked. He forgives the son everything he's done. For all the shame that he's caused, the rejection. The son doesn't have to become a hired hand. This is grace. We should be amazed by this father. Then secondly, and let's build on what we've thought. Be amazed by grace. Be amazed by the father, but secondly, be amazed by grace. Because Jesus didn't tell parables simply to amuse people or for their interest. No, parables, they were earthly stories with heavenly meanings. Jesus was intending for his hearers to see and understand spiritual realities through these stories. And if we are like the prodigal son in the parable, rebelling and rejecting God, who do you think the Father represents? Who is the Father in this story? Well, it's not rocket science. This Father represents our Heavenly Father. He represents God. We're like the prodigal son. We sin, we rebel. But if in repentance we turn back to the Father, what do we find? Well, just like the Father in this parable, we find grace. Our Heavenly Father, he runs to meet us. He's compassionate. He embraces us. He blesses us. He celebrates over us. What a great Father in heaven we have. We have a God who's joyful over us. Isn't that what Jesus is driving at in this set of three parables? We have a lost sheep, a lost coin, then this lost son. Jesus says, what happens when the lost is found? There's great joy in heaven. We don't usually think of God as joyful, do we? We think of God as restrained, as serene. We think of him almost without emotion. We think of him as gracious because the Bible tells us that, and merciful. It's very hard for us to understand God as exuberantly glad. Yet that's exactly the way he's betrayed here. And also in Zephaniah 3 verse 17. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. You want to know how eager God is to receive a sinner? He will run through the dirt. He will bear the shame. He will embrace the sinner with all of his strength, plant kisses all over the sinner's head. Some people think God is a reluctant Savior. Not at all. Think of the Father in this parable, standing every day, looking out for his lost son to return. That's God, standing, waiting for you to turn around. He's almost impatient, this Father. He runs to embrace. Quickly bring the robe. Quickly get the ring. Get the sandals. He wants everything to be done immediately. Isn't that amazing? God's a compassionate Father who receives his children back, no questions asked. Maybe you wonder if God can forgive you. Maybe you worry that you've done too much, that you've gone too far, that you can't come back. But friend, his love and forgiveness can pardon any and every kind of sin. It doesn't matter who or what we've done. It doesn't matter if we've done the worst things time and time again. God can welcome back the most rebellious of people. There's no sin that the Father's love can't cover and pardon. There's nothing that's a match for his grace. God seeks us and he runs towards us. And Christians, every time we repent, this is how we find God, running towards us with arms wide open, ready to accept us back, no questions asked. He receives the sinner who comes repenting and believing. Jesus said, "Him that comes to me, I will never cast out." There's mercy and there's grace. This is the gospel, friends. It's what happens when someone turns in repentance. God runs to them and he's gracious. Be amazed by grace. He gives us what we don't deserve. He gives gifts and blessings to his children. Let's think of what the Father gave the Son in the parable. A robe, a ring, sandals. Christians, God has given you a robe of dignity. He has covered your filthiness with the robe of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Justification. Jesus has taken your sin, and at the cross, his holiness and his perfection, his righteousness was given to you. And God looks on you as wearing the righteousness of Jesus. He replaces your filthy, stinking rags with the righteousness of Jesus. God has given you the family ring. He's adopted you into his family. You are his son, his daughter. He is your father. And whatever that word father makes you think, as father, he's the perfect father. He's your father in heaven. You can pray to him about anything. You can pray to him about everything. You can say, Abba, Father. God has given you sandals. You don't have to walk barefoot. You're not a slave. He's accepted you back. No questions asked. You have access to him at any time. This is the Father's way of saying to his children, everything that I have is yours. The best that I have is yours. And as you come to the Lord's table this morning, friends, this parable, it's a picture of what has happened to you. There was a day when we came to the Father and he ran to embrace us as bad as we were. There was no limitation, no hesitation on his part at all. So it is every time we repent. We come back to him and we wonder how we ever rebel against him. Such a loving Father in heaven. We've been clothed with the perfect righteousness of the Lord Jesus. Our sins are removed as far as east as from the west. Jesus took them upon himself at the cross. He bore our sins in his body. His body was broken that we might live. His blood was spilt that we might be welcomed by the Father. If you're not a Christian this morning, what more can I say to hold out to you this incredible offer of salvation? Right now, you're far from God, rebelling against his love and grace. Why won't you turn from your sin, repent, and believe in the Lord Jesus? He said, after all, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And you will find, friend, because of Jesus, you too can know a running Father. Amen.